Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to After Things. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Justin Robert Young.
Hello, it's me, Justin Robert Young.
And Brian Brushwood. I was stalling for you there, Brian, so you could finish drinking.
Oh, see?
That's what a good host does.
What's funny is I was fake drinking. I wasn't actually sipping anything so that you could try to get me. And I was going like, hi, what's going on?
No, but I was slowing my words down so you could have a chance to sip your delicious beverage because I want you to be hydrated.
That's so kind of you. That's what you've always been kind to me. Not a mischievous bone in your body. I trust Andrew Main is what I'll put on my bumper sticker. You said you had a topic you wanted to jump in.
I do. I do have a topic, and I want to throw a question out to our listeners. And by the way, the audience for After Things is steadily growing. I thought we had like two people listening to it. Turns out it's like over 1,000 or like a couple thousand.
Oh, that's so great. That's huge. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Don't know why you do, but hey. So
I don't know why you do. What do you hate yourself? You just want to spend time with us? Because no one could love us unless you're a self-destructive supervillain that belongs on the CW.
Of that, I like to write. I like to write books. You may know I have a book out now, Name of the Devil, sequel to my book Angel Killer. And that's with HarperCollins Traditional Press, traditional publisher, you know, actual physical books in stores, all that stuff, okay? When I decided I would take a chance with the publisher and with agents and all that, I made sure in my deal I carved out – I love the fact that when you look at what people also bought, you see Angel Killer, Hollywood Pharaohs, The Journey, and Night School. And I know The Journey's got 151 solid stars. I've got to settle for like 4.5 fives. You guys have got all 5 stars on that. So
I want to see what the reviews are on The Journey. Gifted Enlightenment, 97% 5-star reviews. That's amazing.
And then you know, a couple of people are not so happy. So anyhow – I made it sure that my deal was that I could continue to write. I could do novellas. I could do other stuff, all that, as I did before. All right?
Yeah.
And in the 2 years since I've been involved in this deal, do you know how many novellas I've released or science fiction stories I've put out there?
I mean, none. I assume you're sitting on a mountain of them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I've done none. I've released nothing. I've not put anything out there. Nothing. Zero. 0.0.
Is that because... Yeah, because you feel like releasing it will be a missed opportunity at a bigger launch down the road?
I think that initially when I started working on the TV show, I was happy just to worry about the one book and let HarperCollins handle that. And then it became just focusing on the second book and kind of like the amount of time that I have to spend working on one of these books for a publisher eats up a lot of time that because there's revisions and the revisions, the revisions and all this sort of stuff, which I did not plan for and has been a hard adjustment for me. And, you know, it's one of the many factors. But the short answer is that I kind of been lazy and I haven't. And I've been looking for, you know, hey, I've got some stuff that I actually want to put out. I want to get back out there. And I have been writing a lot of stuff. I still probably average at least like half a million words a year or something that I've written. But, I was reading an article on Wired.com, and what it mentioned, it had me thinking about something. And what this was is they talked about Gary Whitta, who is the creator of written a well-known prominent screenwriter, and he's also
he did The Book of Eli. He did After Earth. He just released Abomination, and Abomination is his first novel. And he's been on my radar. He was one of my favorite podcasters on the PC Gamer podcast because he used to be editor-in-chief of – when I was in college, he was editor-in-chief of PC Gamer magazine.
Mm-hmm. So let's back up to Abomination. So there's an article talks about how he just put out this book, Abomination. And what he did was very interesting is he used a program or used a platform I was unfamiliar with, and that's called Inkshares, inkshares.com. Imagine Kickstarter for books, but the idea is it's not just you raise money for your book. If you get a certain number of people to say, yes, I will pre-order your book, they will then publish it, okay? Which means they will then go put in the money or the put in the time and resources to edit the book, professionally finish the book, and put out something that's, you know, of a more professional grade, and they'll make a deal with Ingram so it'll actually get into bookstores.
I'll tell you what, Gary was kind enough to put me on his, what do you call it when you send an early, a galley copy of it?
Mm-hmm.
He sent me a galley copy, put me on that list, and I've gotten some galley copies from a couple of other authors, including you. And the presentation that Inkshares is exquisite. It comes wrapped in butcher paper with a wax seal on it and a note from the author talking about how much it means to you. Until you said those words, I didn't know Inkshares was a Kickstarter-like platform. I just thought that was just the press he was going with.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
So it's not a vanity press, you know. I mean, in the sense of what you do is you go there and you can say, here's my idea for a book, and you might get enough people who say, oh, I like this idea, and they vote it up. Then you might submit your draft and say, okay, I want to put this book forward as a potential book to be published. And you got to recruit people to say that I'll buy your book. And you'll do an ebook version, you'll do a paperback version. If you reach a certain threshold of people who agree to buy the book, then they will actually go and produce the book. Now, what's the, you know, the advantage of this over doing it yourself? In theory, is that, like, as an author, I kind of like to just write. I don't really like to have to do everything else that goes with it, you know, the self-promotion, the copy editing, putting everything in the formats, distribution. There's a lot of other things. And, like, I have a half dozen books that are ebooks that I would love to put into paperback format, which I could probably do if I spent the time on Amazon CreateSpace, but I've been too lazy to do that. Hint, hint, anybody out there who's had an experience that wants to do this and wants to make a little bit of money, let me know. We'll talk. but in any event, you know, it's a very interesting approach towards doing it. You know, the idea that they'll publish a book once they know enough people will buy the book, and so they limit certain kinds of risk there. And I want to throw forth an idea and hear your thoughts on it.
Okay, real quick, I just want to say that I went to Inkshares.com, and the first thing I saw was The Fire Eater's Secret. And as the author of The Professional's Guide to Fire Eating, I really want to know what the what she puts in there. I feel like I should reach out to this author and volunteer my consulting services.
Let her know that the art of fire eating is as old
as history itself, as far back as the ancient Greek tragedy of Medea.
So as I say, my question, backing it up a bit, what I would like to know is Public Enemy Zero. I never put that into paperback. I never did a paperback version of that. It is next to Angel Killer. It's my most popular book I ever wrote.
Public Enemy Zero, again, you know, the story that to me is among the most forward thinking in zombie literature. It is not necessarily a zombie story, although it has many of the same hallmarks of it. Incredibly well reviewed, and really, I don't think telling tales out of school to say that it was really the first big success that kind of catapulted your writing career, far forward than where you had started it. It was a huge hit for us.
That's what got me my litter agent. That's what got me my first movie deal. That's what led to everything else was that book. And so my first novel. And so I thought about the idea of, you know, putting it in paperback and doing it on CreateSpace or something like that. But I wonder, is there something in maybe trying to use the Inkshares platform to doing that?
The only reason I could think of not to is if you feel like doing so would limit your chance to have it rocket forward and into other platforms like television shows or movies or whatever. If there's no limitation, I'm obsessed with The Martian's success story, you know, and it, mm-hmm. you know, because he started off self-published, and you see all these different versions of the print version come out, and now, of course, you have the major movie with Ridley Scott and whatever. Like, it seems to me that Public Enemy Zero has enough of the big story hallmarks that it could follow a similar trajectory.
There's already a movie deal for Public Enemy Zero.
I didn't know that you could say that in public, but
yeah, I can. Yeah. And it's my, and it's been, it's in its second, its second version of that. The last version was with, I won't name names, but it was with like producers of like the arguably one of the biggest action movie franchises there is. And so Public Enemy Zero's had a very good, actually very good track record of if somebody doesn't deliver it, it comes out and I go to somebody else and like, yes, we'll buy it and try to see where we can get with
it. So I guess that would be my question is, and I understand it's everything's perpetually in limbo and everyone's about to do something or about to make a decision in Hollywood. But does releasing this does the platform that you release it in matter to affect that deal?
No, not at all. Publishing rights are totally separate. In the time that it's been out, we've never made a publishing deal for it. As popular as it's been, as how well it's sold, on Amazon, and as well as it's, as much as I've made from movie right deals on it, publishing wise, I've never had a publisher pick it up. So this would just be for publishing only. And there are pros and cons to it, but I kind of look at it like, man, if I'm just going to sit on it and just sort of let the sales have fallen off precipitously and trickle in. Or is it some time to say, hey, let me, put this out there and, are there enough fans that would want to buy a paperback version of it, a bit updated?
I think there are those fans, and I do think you have that presence. And I can't believe I'm saying this. Here's the thing is I suspect that it would be more profitable for you to do the Ink Shares deal and do it as a major release that is, where you retain more ownership and control. But if you don't need the money, then you're at a point in your career where having the perception of barreling forward with another successful property and another publisher deal signed and you get that fake stupid Hollywood heat stink all over you might be worth it to you. I don't know.
The risk is if I go and I put this out there on a platform like this, and I think you need to sell like 1,000 copies to get it to get it into a print run with him. If I don't, is the look of like, well, thought he was a big author. Looks like he failed.
That's just
the voices in my head.
Well, that's absolutely not the case. And ultimately you are an exceptional author because of the relationship that you have made with your fan base. There are people, the way that we consume literature now is fundamentally different. And the people who have gotten it have gotten the best of both worlds, an advantageous print deal, and maintained a relationship with their audience because they have just decided that the creativity would be what drives them and not the business model of a literary system that, is fantastic and it's great. And then they've got connections that put you in the right positions to succeed at times, especially on a large level. But they're not necessary to build the audience. And that is ultimately what is super important. And right now you got a lot of people that, you have, if I'm the most voracious Andrew Main fan, how much have I read? What is everything new that Andrew Main's put out?
Well, I understand there's new, but I'm saying if I go back and I take a property like Public Enemy Zero first, take something that was written.
That's something that a lot of people, your hardest core fans, would love to have a physical copy of that.
Here's the other thing is InkShares is a very smart platform in that it allows you to maintain a lot of control or whatever. But from what little I've heard right now, it sounds like it's on the spectrum between self-publishing and quote unquote, legitimate big publishers, whatever that means, even though that's a BS title. It seems like it's closer to the self-publishing side, which you've already proven, self-published.
I talk to people who are like, I want to be published. I'm like, I'm thrilled that I can like see my book on a bookshelf. I care more about having readers. How I find those readers is isn't as important. It's just having readers.
Can I ask you my question? This is sort of, and this absolutely is coloring things. Next week, I believe, the second Scam School book with Skyhorse Publishing, my first, you know, a smaller publisher, but a real legit ass publishing deal comes out. Scam School Academy was originally published as Scam School Book 2. Right now you can put it in, I'm looking for it on Amazon. You can buy it on Amazon.
I just pre-ordered it right now.
Oh, did you? So here's the thing. I will definitely make more money, Academy, a lot more money by selling them, signed copies from my own website. So the question is, am I better off pushing for, you know, if we push everything on this, tell everyone to buy it at Barnes & Noble and Amazon, the places that quote unquote count, is it better to have, you know, the number one, I don't know, like how much money is it worth giving up in order to have the notoriety of hitting some kind of bestseller list?
Well, the question comes down to is how, you know, my publisher wants me to support the publisher, and actually would like the first link I put up would be my publisher, right? Which, and I've kind of pointed out to them that, one, because they have to sell it at full retail and because they charge shipping rates commensurate with like shipping bricks to Antarctica,
sure,
that it's not really a good deal to do that, you know, but, you know, and that's the other thing is the responsibility to be supportive of your publisher. It comes into it's a mixed bag. And I think that, you know, your goal, your publisher's job is in keeping your publisher going. Your agent's job is keeping the agency going. Your job is keeping your enterprise going. And I think that if you want to sell them directly, I think absolutely do that. What are your chances? You know, how many copies are you going to move versus are you going to take away potentially from having this thing pop up high up on a list? I don't know. But I mean,
it seems to me that we're talking about a matter of, you know, let's just call it a thousand books, right? 1,000 books all sold on the same day, the day it comes out, is the difference between, you know, dominating the magic category and possibly all of games and amusements or whatever on there, versus, you know, but you know, I won't see any of that cash, whereas selling it myself, you know, that's a few thousand dollars that I get. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it really does depend on whether or not that's worth it to you. I mean, if that's a pelt you want to hang on your wall, then do it. Otherwise, you know, I don't know. These kind of questions are always just, you know, where is your audience? You know, like if they want to buy it from you because your direct conversation with them is how they know you and how they keep in contact with you, then that's just going to be what happens. I think for Andrew's case, he just has an underserved audience. You know, like there is,
they're hungry. They want more, and the floodgates.
This is a great way to put out an established property that people want to buy. You get a view of what this looks like, whether or not you enjoy this mechanism, and whether or not you want to push it. Because, like you're looking at right now, Brian, you got to figure out, you know, you have to know where you want to put your energy. Because if you want to bang the drum and you want to yell and scream, you need one place that you want to tell people so the call to action is as direct as possible. I think for Andrew, right now, the issue is if people love Andrew, do they want to be telling him, oh, wait, you mentioned on Twitter that you're really into this one idea, that the book about that, I'd love to see it on Inkshares. I would, you know, it like this is like the conduit of the like, you know, just shut up and take my money. Like this is the mechanism for which that exists. And immediately you just make that feedback loop so much tighter. And that's how empires are built, in my opinion, online.
So I know that Justin has a hard out coming up. Can I ask you, I don't know if you can even answer in a public forum, but recently somebody wrote me saying some very nice things. She had just discovered the interview I did on the You Are Not So Smart podcast with David McRaney. and was very impressed and kind of looked in and asked me if I had literary representation. And I didn't know kind of what that meant or whether it's something I should be excited that somebody wants to give to me. Is that, what does it mean when somebody wants to be your literary representation?
It means that they want to be the person that if you have a book or something you want to write and be able to try to find a publisher for it, generally speaking.
Like, do they have sway in the world? Like, I think of the old classic 1940s, 1960s, like, I've got power and I'm going to make this kid a star. Like, I feel like those days are dead and I don't see the reason.
Oh, no, not at all.
Oh, really?
So I'm represented by Trident Media, okay? And the head of the agency is Robert Gottlieb, who is a legend in the publishing industry. And my agent that I deal with there is Erica Silverman, who I am madly in love with, and she is wonderful and awesome. She learned under the wing of Michael Crichton about the ins and outs. And so Erica and Robert, you know, they go out to Hollywood like once a year, a couple times a year. They put together meetings with all the production companies, the big production companies, and they bring a stack of books. And I'm not talking about what they do in publishing, but just on that part alone, I have a deal for Angel Killer, which I cannot talk about. I mean, maybe I can, but I won't. I'll wait. But I have Angel Killer is being developed for TV with some people I think are really brilliant with a really great studio. And that's because Erica and Robert went out there and they knocked on doors. And I had interest before that they found, and they found in this time again, they went in and got they found a great deal with it, and that's what they are able to do. Not every agent's going to do that. These people are exceptional. But when it comes to publishing deals, she talks to publishers. She paired me up with the fantastic Hannah Wood at HarperCollins. Hannah is just an amazing editor, young woman, but just a, you know, goes out of her way to give me line item edits, like goes through, you know, people don't do that anymore. She does. She puts just as much effort into the books, you know, as I do, trying to make them great. And that's because my agent, Erica Silverman, found Hannah, liked Hannah, figured out Hannah and I would work really well together. And so a great agent is fantastic and can really be helpful. I would never be published if it wasn't for that.
So you say, okay, well, good. Well, I didn't know if, you know, oftentimes agents can be, you know, hangers on who like.
Oh, they can be. I mean, yeah. It depends on their, you know, where, what books have they placed? Who are they repping? And that was, when I put Public Enemy Zero out there, I got contacted by a couple different agents. And I had the kind of like, hey, kid, yeah, I'll make you a star. I know these people and all this. And that guy may have been great, but it was a lot of talk. And I've been in this town long enough to know that's talk versus the other people are like, well, yeah, we represent this person who's, you know, they're naming these big series. And I go on their websites like, holy cow, no, they really rep them. You know, they really, and I'm saying, well, you know, Robert Gottlieb, you know, he was the guy that made the deal for Tom Clancy that was like the biggest publishing deal in history. So I'm like, oh, these people are the business.
Well, and that's the thing is a literary agent for you is a part of your machinery. You know, and either that part is a right fit or they're not. And there is no, I think, hard and fast rule on it.
All right. Well, that points me in a better direction. But I guess I should have a conversation on the phone. It's very weird. It's very weird because, to be honest, the whole reason hacking the system happened was because and this is the surprising thing to me is how much weight books have. When we released the ebook for Scam School, someone at the Huffington Post asked to do a conversation with me, and they wrote a small write-up, and then someone at Ping Pong Productions called, and we were like, hey, I dig your stuff. Is there anything you'd like to do for TV? And I sent over 8 ideas, and none of them turned into anything. And a year later...
Brian, we can't give you $1 million an episode to spend on whatever you want.
Why can't they? But it was actually a year later that I had the idea for hacking the system. And then I called her out of the blue, like, hey, remember me from a year ago? I have this idea. And then everything, roll downhill from there. I mean, it's a weird business, Andrew. It's a weird business because everything is constantly in flux. And I don't know.
And you have to have your own plan in mind. You have to have an idea of what you want to do and what your goals are. And it's very easy to sometimes, you know, like I have some friends that are out doing the rounds of pitching TV shows. And I said, well, here's the thing. you need to have a very clear idea what you want out of TV. Don't do a TV show just because it's very flattering. It's very, very flattering to have somebody say, yes, we want to do a TV show. But, you know, we've talked about stuff that we've been approached with before where we go like, yeah, I mean, do we really want to spend, you know, 4 months out of the year doing this thing and then doing a show that's so far from what we want to do? And
For the record, if our schedules are aligned, and I know it's a busy time for all of us right now, we all have very big things happening. I'm still interested in doing a Weird Things TV show. I would carve out a few months to spend time learning to hate all of us as we fake each other out with Sasquatch tales around campfires and ghosts and scare at each other.
So on that note, we can talk offline about that. Not because we don't want to tell you folks here, just because we don't want to bore you with that. Is, you know, if we have a thing, a gimmick or premise or something that we want to do, and then, you know, we can go look at network needs and stuff. We can go and pitch that. We can go see, but it comes back to like, you know, we want to do a thing we want to do, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I do feel
that
like
the thing is, you don't like, we want to do a Weird Things TV show, right? We don't want to just do a show where we don't have a strong relationship with the production company or we don't have a strong relationship with the network. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, like, well, let's, I mean, you and Andrew, great, you know, but Justin, I don't really feel like,
oh,
that's,
no. Yeah.
Or if that's the case, then it's like, okay, well, you know, is that the same thing? Obviously he's the star here. You know, this is a ship without a rudder. You know, it's definitely a complicated issue.
I'll tell you what, though. The idea of a show...
Justin who?
Of three... The idea of a show of three skeptics who don't believe in ghosts but are afraid of them, I think would be really interesting. Like, I don't know. I feel like that could happen.
There is nothing that I would love to do more than to just have that television... In fact, there are very few ways, having been around television enough, that I can imagine a television show process being super fun, because even like the products that you guys have made, which I'm very proud of, and I know that you guys are often painful to make. You know, they take a bit of your flesh to do it. There are very few television adventures that I could think of that would be as fun as the three of us doing something fun and creative together and creating something that. I think a lot of people would like, and it's that kind of genuine enthusiasm that I think really would translate. But it's just, again, there's a million miles between here and Damascus.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe that'll be the subject for the next After Things.
Hmm. So I want to hear anybody says, you know, I want to know, say, would anybody be interested in, you know, Public Enemy Zero?
Yes. You know, look, we're all we want it by any means possible. We'll take your black tar heroin junkie. We'll take crocodile version of Public Enemy Zero.
That's two out of 998, Brian.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
All right. How about this, ladies and gentlemen? How about if you are interested in a physical copy of Public Enemy Zero, one of, you know, it is a favorite of mine. It might be my favorite book that Andrew has ever written. It is action-packed and amazing. Then you need, Andrew, where are they going? I mean, do we want to do a straw poll? Or are you just going to set up a thing? If people are coming down.
Email me. Just email. I know. And that way, if we do it, I have names. I have names to track people down.
No, he will put your name into a spreadsheet and then look at the returns on Inkshares and find out anybody who emailed and hasn't bought it and call you repeatedly. So, all right. So what's the email? What's the email? What are we doing? It's call really to action.
Andrew at Andrew Main. Just say
Andrew at AndrewMain.com.
Public Enemy, yes.
Right now.
Public Enemy, yes, is all you have to write. And I guess that means it's been after.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.